Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Whose phone is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
And I said, I want to win the league, but I want to win it better. You can understand that, can't you?
Yes.
Good lad.
So he's almost like having a second captain in the team.
Second captain, first captain, whatever.
I bring you today's Second Captain's podcast with egg all over my face, streaming down my face, and my head is buried in a large bowl of humble pie after Mayo stunned the GAA world, sort of, by ending Dublin's reign of terror. Yeah, it's a messy scene here. I've had to move into the kitchen to find all the necessary food stuffs, the eggs
just,
and the humble
just
pie.
Just stand in the bath, Ud. It's easier. You can just take a shower afterwards.
Just like a nice 20-minute bath, wash all this away. Hi, Ken.
Hi, Owen. How are you?
I'm all right. Kieran, how are you?
Well, I'm pretty good, Owen.
I'm sure you are.
Feeling pretty good.
I'm sure you are. Yeah. You're not from Dublin. Where to begin the apologies? Where to begin? First one goes out to...
Is this really necessary? I mean, you know, what? just how bold were you last week? I mean, it's all kind of melding into one for me here.
Well,
my brain,
first apology goes out to the Mayo fans of the World Service for the way I demeaned the idea that this is even a rivalry. You know, I questioned, can it be considered a rivalry between Dublin and Mayo when one team hasn't lost to the other team in 16 matches over nearly a decade? Well, it can
well,
now.
Well, it's reasonably fair commentary, I think.
Scumbag.
I guess Matty Clerken deserves a word here too, in fairness to the man. Dublin won't win the All-Ireland this year, screamed a headline over his piece, dated July 16th, 2021, this day last month, in fact. I may have reacted, and I might not be the only one on this call, with scorn at the time. The term clickbait Clerken might have been used once or twice, bandied around. That's no way to talk about one of Ireland's foremost sports journalists, Mal.
You don't have a right to do that.
I'm sorry. You weren't looking for the clicks. You saw something and you were right. So that's all off the bat.
I mean, all he was speaking of was, you know, having actually been at two of Dublin's games this year, you know? Mm. I mean, anyone could go firing off opinions left, right and centre, I suppose, on, but...
Going to talk a bit about Mayo's win on this podcast today, free to everybody, as you know, if you're listening to it as a non-member. We're busy assembling the best GAA analysis team in the business for tomorrow's World Service podcast. Oisín McConville is in, Paul Flynn is in. Yes, you're going to hear an ex-Dublin footballer having to talk about Dublin losing a championship match. And I'm sure Paul will be good value. He's been brilliant, a brilliant addition to our lineup all summer. And I'm sure we'll throw a Mayo legend in there as well to please all you Mayo heads. Secondcaptains.com, a fiver a month plus VAT. That's what it costs to sign up to the World Service. Our members will hear that analysis tomorrow. What did you make of it, guys? Ken, you've been very quiet there so far. Are you just too crushed?
I'm just enjoying, Owen. I'm enjoying this a sweet sound that I haven't heard for so long.
What's that?
The sound of silence, the crying has stopped. 7 years of crying, whinging, moaning, bitching, complaining. You know, spreadsheet rustling. All of it has finally come to an end. At last,
Beam
come
counting.
To an end. Mayo eventually managed to scramble an equaliser in the 47th minute of 6 minutes of injury time and force it to extra time. And, you know, at that point, I suppose Dublin said, look, you know, some days you just got to accept it's not your day. You know what I mean? Like, it's clear that we will continue to play here until Mayo managed to go 1 point ahead, at which point they're going to blow it up. So let's just... You know, they blowed it up.
They blew it up when it was level, and then Mayo won it an extra time.
Look, the writing's on the wall here. You know, we know how this one's going to play out. You know, we've seen this movie before. So really,
it was in black and white the last time it was played, though.
Yeah. We're just very tired. We're just very tired, and so, so let's just let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Whisper words of wisdom. Let it be. And let that be a lullaby to everybody who was crying, everybody who spent the last 7 years sobbing and blubbing. That, you know, Dublin are only human. You know, if you get the right occasion, you know, the right stopwatch, you know, they can be beaten. They can be beaten once every generation or so. So I am I'm happy because it was beginning to do my head in just the noise of complaining. I'm not someone who likes listening to that. Murph, so I'm delighted on
this. I watched this match in a pub for the first time in an awful long time, and
very nice.
A couple of people requested that Ken do a sort of mournful fair view.
I could hear it in the tinkling of the talka.
To, you know, mark the end of this Dublin era. It doesn't sound like Ken's in the mood to mourn anything now. It seems like he's
determined. I have to say, I watched the Sunday game last night, and they were talking about, you know, the end of Dublin's glorious run.
They literally did a package on Dublin's glorious run, at the very end.
But no, I thought that's absolutely fair enough. Like, they've won six All-Irelands in a row. Let's mark the six All-Irelands. But then they went back to, like, 2011, and we're seeing Kevin McManaman score against Kerry and Cluxton's point. And all.
Well, they framed it as their decade of dominance. I think that's what that was about. So, 2011.
Hold on a second. Are Dublin not competing next year or something like that? Does anyone else think that Dublin will not be in an All-Ireland semi-final and will probably be favourites to win the All-Ireland this time next year? Like, this idea that, like, the whole show is off the road, like, it's kind of hilarious to me, all right? But
Dublin are all over the place, listeners.
Wasn't it just the most unbelievable Saturday evening? Like, the game, I went back and watched it last night. Having watched the Sunday game, I wanted to go watch the last, like, half an hour as well. So I went back and watched it on Sky, and, like, I said, okay, I'll go to, like, when Dublin were 11-7 up. Mm-hmm. And so Dean Rock put Dublin 12-7 up after 58 minutes. And the atmosphere in the Sky commentary box, and I'm sure it was the same in the RTE commentary box, it was just completely moribund. Like, this was toast. You know, Mayo had done all right in the third quarter. They'd won that 3-0, fair play. But the game was over. You know, there was no noise coming from the crowd. And then sometimes, like, there are subtle turning points in a game. And then there are turning points where a man runs 20 yards, flies 10 yards through the air to fly kick a ball back to a teammate who sticks the ball over the bar. That Dermot O'Connor chase, Kevin McLaughlin's point. Now that, my friends, is a turning point. And after that, then it was just total chaos.
Yeah, because what happened with that at that moment, I did the same thing. I watched the second half again and extra time. That was on 62 minutes with them 5 points down. The steam had gone out of the comeback. They'd been the better team in the second half, but they hadn't actually narrowed the gap all that much. They were five down again. There was also the water break. And I think that was also after the McLaughlin injury, the John Small tackle, in inverted commas. So everything, it had been completely taken. And then, so 5 points down, not long to go. And then this really badly taken, was that a 45 or free kick, just tailing harmlessly wide. So at that moment, now that said, we're saying this now, at the time I don't know if anyone thought that here's a match turning moment, but it did look like a commendable spirit and all that kind of stuff.
Oh no, no one was saying it at the time. Everyone was like, well, this is just unbelievable stuff from Mayo.
But that's the point of it, isn't it? In the Mayo players' heads, it's still alive and we still chase every last ball. Do you know what I think was as big a moment, by the way, and it's something that didn't happen. Basquiat not scoring the goal after John Small had thundered into O'McLaughlin. Ball gets worked up to Basquiat. If he scores the goal at that point, Dublin go another 3 points up after this red card that should have happened but didn't happen. The thought has occurred to me a couple of times since, how hated would this Dublin team be now? Oh, what would this analysis be like? It'd be...
I think there'd be a lot of crying, huh? I think there'd be a lot of tears.
I think there probably would if that was the goal that effectively would have won the game after Dublin committed a red card offence that went unpunished, but that didn't happen. Obviously, the Henley equaliser is another massive moment. I always, on the Mondays after big days for Mayo, I'd love to hear how they called it on Midwest Radio, and they stepped up to the mark yet again on Saturday. Here is Rob Henley stepping up in, as Ken calls it, about the 47th minute of the second half.
77 on the clock, this to level it and bring us to extra time. Come on, Robbie. He did it!
He's over the bar! Robbie Edley!
And now it's Mayo! 13 points Dublin, 13 points and Mayo man on the deck as well.
There's a Mayo man down, number 10 is down, Dermot O'Connor. There's a Dublin man after hitting him. There should be a Dublin man sent off here, but Dublin are all over the place. But Henley, let's carve his name of pride, because again and again, that man has got more abuse from Mayo fans. And fair play to him.
Fair play to Robbie Henley. It's now Mayo 13 points, Dublin 13 points.
There's all kinds of
shamazas here. Connor Lane needs to get a grip of this
game. No Mayo man's taking a backward step, but Henley, in fairness to the man.
And you hear that roar, it's electric. The Mayo roar. We have suffered so much defeats over the years, this Dublin team. We haven't beaten them since 2012. Well, we're going to take them all the way tonight, Marianne.
Take them all the way, they did, and they beat. And that's Michael D. McAndrew with Martin Carney. Martin Carney screaming for red cards there, much like the Mayo fans in the pub, I must say as well. First time I'd watched a match in a pub in a long time. And everything I'm happy to report, all GA banter is as was before the pandemic. It's all the same kind of nonsense, especially if you're a dub watching with tables around you who don't support Dublin. You're kind of looking at them now. You are separated by screens nowadays, like as in Perspex screens. That takes away a little bit, but there's plenty of at one stage I thought a point had been scored by Dublin, let out a big cheer, and was politely told that's actually wide, after it's already been waved wide, and all this kind of stuff. And you're thinking, as long as these people are actually from Mayo, I'm happy enough. But if this is just anti-dub, of course, your man comes around then at the end to say, listen, all's fair in love and war. And he was a Galway man, Murph. But he then produced a baby. Yeah, he had his daughter in his arms, who was wearing a half Mayo, half Galway jersey. So there were Mayo links. So it was
there's
okay.
Some familial connection there.
Yeah.
Were you surprised, though, at the amount of gamesmanship?
What incidents in particular were you shocked by, Ken?
Well, I thought there was a lot of playing for time, a lot of...
Oh, Jesus.
Well...
please continue to talk and continue to dig your own grave here.
Just a reminder that we have got actual analysis with Oisín McConville and Paul Flynn to come tomorrow.
There was a lot of...
Thank you, by the way, Owen.
A lot of playing for time. They worked on the ref, didn't they? Well, I mean, it's all part of the game, getting the referee's ear.
Did you log into Twitter at all on Saturday evening? Just as an aside, Ken.
Did I look at Twitter on Saturday evening? I mean, probably. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I can't really remember. Probably.
Maybe you're not as ingrained in GA Twitter as I am. But suffice to say, the referee was a topic of conversation for many people.
I'm not surprised. It doesn't surprise me to hear that.
One second, Kieran, did you finish your point there?
No, just that your viewpoint is a refreshing and rare opinion as a Twitter observer on Saturday night. It is refreshing to hear this rather unique take of yours.
There was a photo that went around the world as well of a Mayo player with his leg fully outstretched, kicking a ball. Did you see this photo?
Yeah, Dermot O'Connor. We've literally just been talking about that for the last couple of minutes.
I mean, it doesn't seem to me like he's got that ball under control at all.
Jesus. No, he doesn't. But that turned out to be an assist for a point for Kevin McLaughlin, as previously discussed.
It just seems to me if you're stretching like that for a ball, you've actually made a mistake a fraction of a second earlier. You should have probably been closer to it.
What a boy you are.
There's still room to improve. A victory on the night, and still room to improve. Can't say fairer than that.
This one meant a lot to Mayo, as you can hear from Porga Hora speaking to Damien Lawler after the match.
It's impossible to put it into words. Look at this place. What it means to all of us. To me, I can't even describe it. It's unbelievable. It's just the best day of my life.
The sound of the crowd in the background was probably as good as anything that O'Hara actually says in that one.
Is he a relative of yours, Owen?
No, Ken.
No, but that is, you do have a
Horus,
you do have a Horus relatives, don't you?
I do, yeah. And it's what my extended family WhatsApp group, as in with my aunties and uncles and stuff on it, I have to stay away from in the middle of these games. I looked at the group after the match yesterday, and almost everybody on it is cheering on Mayo because of our Mayo relatives, and specifically my mum's uncle, who was at the last All-Ireland they won, all those decades ago, and everyone wants him to win another one, So it's kind of hard to tried to cheer on my own county when all these beautiful,
heart-rending, emotional stories are being told.
I think there were some claims being laid on Porgahora, but as far as I know, no factual basis to those claims, Ken. But you know, I'll take it. A tangential link to Mayo's glory. I might as well jump on the bandwagon now. Now it is one of those things. Once they've lost, I mean, once Mayo have won, it is like I'm glad we lost to Mayo as opposed to anybody else. But I don't think even Mayo fans want Dublin people cheering them on during the game. That would be...
I think that ship has sailed on.
Are you going to cheer them on in the final, or are they scrapping the whole thing this year because of the whole Tyrone situation?
No, it's all going ahead, Kenny. Tyrone have gotten their way. And so...
Yeah, well, okay. Well, fair enough.
How did you characterise that story to me via WhatsApp, Owen, yesterday?
I can't remember.
Tyrone have beaten the shit out of the GAA.
I had a better line here. I was going to say they brinksmanshipped their way to an extra week. But listen, you can go with my off the record comment there. Bring it on the record. Well, they really have. They've done a number in the GAA
really
here.
Have.
You know, it's like
they really have.
Put out the feelers that I'm not sure we're going to be able to fulfill this. And then just they realized they still weren't getting what they wanted, so they went full bore and said we're gone.
Yeah. There was some reporting in the Irish Examiner from John Fogarty today which suggested that actually the GAA were about to give Kerry a walkover until Kerry basically insisted that they play Tyrone, that the extra week be given to Tyrone, which I think is kind of interesting.
Why do they do that, by the way? Is there a financial reason for that? Or
Not a financial reason from Kerry's perspective. The GAA, I think, would be... You know, there's obviously a financial imperative, or not an imperative, but an incentive from the GAA's perspective in that there will be 24,000 people at this semi-final on the 28th of August when it's played.
Yeah.
But that's it. I mean, at the end of the day, I think Kerry might also be a little concerned about going into an Ireland final having not played for 6 weeks and having not actually played, you know.
So they'd rather play the semi-final as like a warm-up game for the final rather than just go straight to the final. With the risk that the warm-up game might result in their elimination from the competition.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is odd. It's a very odd situation, you know. And there's obviously been quite a bit of bad blood between Kerry and Tyrone over the years as well. But at the same time, it would be kind of a shitty way to get to an Ireland final, you know.
Oh yeah, there's nothing like that.
And you know, and if you thought that there was something that you could do to offset that, I think it probably, you know, at some stage you actually sit down and say, yeah, something needs to change here. Because, like, the big thing that people are saying, well, listen, this championship has to be played. It has to be played off. We have to get this over and done with. The clock is ticking. And the clock is ticking, you know, most loudly in the ears of club players in the counties involved. And if Kerry can look at each other and say, well, we are the clubs of Kerry. We're the Kerry County Board. And, you know, the rush isn't... You know, don't rush on our behalf. And if we have a way of changing people's minds on it, then let's just do that. Let's just do that. We don't want to, you know, get through to an Ireland final with walkovers. Like, this used to happen, but it used to happen 100 years ago in the GAA when all Irelands were stripped of counties and given to counties and committees and stuff like that. Like, no one wants that. No one wants that.
Murph, last word on Mayo for today. Was it their greatest ever win? Is it the greatest win since they last won in All Ireland?
It's their greatest win. I mean, I could probably pick five or six games where they've played better in the last 5 years. But I mean, you know, they didn't get a whole pile for those insanely brilliant performances. I'm thinking in particular the 2017 Ireland final. But yeah, I think it has to be, you know. I mean, you know, there's a lot of satisfaction in, you know, Kieran McDonald kicking the most iconic point of this century, probably, or one of them anyway, to beat a full Croke Park into the hill and all the rest. That's a lot of fun. But this is their greatest moment. I mean, but again, they still, you know, they still have a final to win.
Yeah,
and there's no guarantee they're going to do it.
Don't think they want to think too much about that. I mean, the players, yes, but certainly, I get the sense my Mayo relatives don't want to hear about a final right now.
Oh my God! And the amount of people saying, you know, oh well, you know, they've not won yet on Saturday night. It's like, yeah, but they've beaten Dublin, lads. Like, what the hell are you talking about? You're telling fans to calm down, like, you know, it's like, are you mental? Like, what are we watching sport for?
I thought they were so
defensive. Carried away.
Mm? They were so defensive. I don't know if that approach can work in the final.
I don't think it will either, but I don't think they were that
defensive. Don't take Ken's analysis at face value. He's literally just described Dermot O'Connor losing control of a ball that he never actually
was
had
kicked
possession
70
of.
Yards yeah, away yeah, by Robbie yeah. Headley. Yeah, God, when you I nearly took it on its merits there. God, thank you for saving me from that.
Other happy campers in the GA world. Shane Lowry leaping around Croke Park like he just won the US Masters.
Oh, amazing. The two games in Croke Park yesterday were so, so good.
Yeah, the Meath women. So that was the offer the under 20 All-Ireland, and the Meath women trailed. What did they trail by? 7 points with 5 minutes to go?
There were 6 points down with a minute to go on the. And this is obviously a stop clock. So, I mean, you literally have 1 minute of playing time left as they stepped up to take the penalty. Emma Duggan then gets a goal, force a turnover inside the court, within 25 yards of the Cork kickout, score a goal, bring it to extra time, win the game then in extra time. I mean, she's the hero, Emma Duggan. She's 18 years old, got that last minute goal, kicked the last score of the game, finished with 1-5. She's an absolute superstar in the making. And that was after Shane Lowry's Offaly win the under 20 All-Ireland final against Roscommon. It was actually a really excellent, really watchable game as well. So, I mean, Offaly and or Roscommon in an All-Ireland final, a roiler comeback to rival anything we've ever seen before. Dublin beaten. It's back to the future, baby. And it feels so good.
Loads of Mayo talk to come tomorrow. It's going to be a cracker of a show for all you World Service members. Anyone who wants to join up for that, secondcaptains.com is the place to do it. But in honour of the Meath women, let's play you out today with our recent homage to Meath football. Oh, geez, that's another this is another painful one for me. But listen, might as well keep flagellating myself here. All right, I'm going to wipe all this messy stuff away and get ready for tomorrow's podcast. Thanks, Murph.
Thank you, Owen. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, Owen. Thank you, Kieran.
Thanks for listening. Well done, Mayo.
And
well
thank
done,
you,
Offaly.
Dublin for all the victories and all the brilliant football you've treated us to over the years. Thanks for the memories.
Another couple of decades till the next All-Ireland is what you're hoping for there. And I was also going to thank Meath just to get us into this little final clip.
Now, can Meath go for the goal here? 2-13 to 1-13. This is like old times at the moment.
Hurt them, kill them, injure them.
A route ruling on the 45-metre line. This is deliberately to stop Meath's momentum. Have no doubt about that. When Dublin get vulnerable, they always do this. Always and ever. And always and ever have.
That was our mentality in the 80s.
Hurt them, kill them, injure them.
Some of me footballers are missing now. Killer instinct.
Tough babe, the lad is good, yeah.
Two or three players need to be stopped. Some way, somehow, they need to be stopped.
Hurt them, kill them, injure them.
Killing Dublin, stopping Dublin. There's certain things Meath need to do to stop them, you know?
There's still a chance for Meath, and Dublin at the moment are holding on to it in an obnoxious fashion. This is ugly, ugly football.
That killer instinct.
Your purpose on this planet is to stop Dublin. Hurt them, kill them, injure them.
Do anything you've got to do. They're just going to be stopped. They're either going to be outplayed or they're going to be removed.
Laid back. Tough face, lad, in for the air.
Which phone is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys. It is not war and death and famine, it's not that at all. It's the opposite of that, it's to persuade the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.